What's up, guys? Welcome to the Social Bamboo Podcast, teaching only the fastest, most sustainable social media growth strategies out there. I'm your host, Derek Vidal, and today I am joined by Jamie Atkinson. Jamie is a podcast host of multiple podcasts. He's running two very actively right now. He's going to tell you all about them, but we're going to get into how to monetize a podcast today, talk a little bit about whether or not you should even start one for those of you considering it. And stick around to the end because Jamie has a bonus that no guest has ever done literally anything like before. I'm going to spoil it a little bit. It is an opportunity to get on his podcast, and the bar is pretty low to have a chance to get over there. I was just over there and he asked some awesome questions, but it's just a great way to get some extra exposure. So you have to wait to the end to hear how to do that. But yeah, lots of great stuff to come. Jamie, how's it going, man?
Dude, super excited to be here. And yeah, it's kind of a fun tease, right? Oh, maybe come get featured on a top 100 podcast. It's kind of sexy. So we'll see if the guys stick around to the end though, you know, see if they can put up with listening to us for a little bit.
We'll see if they can. We'll make it we were saying we were going to make this a Joe Rogan style one. So we'll really put them to the test here. And before we started recording, I was chugging my cup of tea because I was like, oh yeah, John Lee Dumas told me in his book, you got to drink tea before a podcast interview. And then he's like, Pat Flynn said we should stand up. So we cranked up our standing desk. We were standing. We're going to see if this helps our delivery and just overall performance on YouTube. But let us know in the comments if it's literally any different for you.
You get a new tip. Every guest that comes on, just getting to give you a new random tip. Someone's like, well, if you hop on one foot while you record yeah. it keeps you way more active. And, you know, we'll see how crazy it gets.
And then you have to keep it under 15 minutes if you do so. So keeps it concise. But yeah, we're going to get right into it. So Jamie, I want to know first off, like, tell us about your entrepreneur journey, like not from a point of just like rattling off, like I did this and I did this for us to understand you. We want to, but tell us like how, what we can learn from it, from your entrepreneur journey of kind of how you've evolved through your careers.
Yeah, this is a good question because I think, you know, when I look back to who I was before I became an entrepreneur, and maybe some of you guys can resonate with this, you know, I was fairly successful in my kind of corporate career. You know, I was in sales, I got promoted to manager, and maybe a lot of you guys have had something along the lines of this where you've been pretty successful in your career and then you go out and you try and do things by yourself and it's really hard. And, you know, for the first 2 or 3 years of me running my own businesses, I went through 6 or 7 failed businesses and it was really, really tough. And it wasn't really until I discovered podcasts that I actually started to really get any major momentum in my business. You know, for 3 years, I was stuck at $2,000 to $3,000 a month, you know, repeating these models, trying to break out of this cycle. And when I eventually discovered podcasts, you know, at the time I was running this kind of crazy cold call agency where I had 6 guys like dialing 100 people a day and, you know, they would book me sales calls. And I just remember it being a really big grind, you know, and I speak to a lot of people nowadays and we talk about, well, what are you doing to get sales? What are you doing to get booked calls? And the grind is something I hear about a lot. You know, a lot of people, it doesn't matter if it's calling people, emailing people, social media. You know, a lot of people are putting in a lot of work to really get sometimes very minimal traction. And I remember exactly what that was like. And, you know, from what I can help you guys to understand today and what I discovered for myself was really the relationships through podcast interviews was this kind of untapped strategy where I was able to just really connect with people on a one-on-one level and build amazing trust. And what I figured out and what I want to share a bit about with you guys today is that when you can build trust and build connection with the right kind of people, some crazy things can happen in your business. And for us, that led to partnerships, clients, sales, building our first 6-figure business, having our first, you know, 6-figure months. And honestly, one of the biggest things that I want to encourage you guys to really think about as we talk about what's possible in this episode with podcasts is to really not think about podcasts in the traditional approach, which is what I'm all about, is, you know, don't think of how do I grow a really big audience? How do I, you know, monetize in this traditional way? But instead start to look at your podcast and say, you know, how can 1 or 2 conversations make a massive difference in my business? And that's what I'm kind of here to help you guys understand a bit more about today and, you know, maybe chat about some cool stuff from you, Derek, as well. See where we go with the questions, huh?
Yeah. I mean, I really like your approach to business with anything, not just with podcasts, of just what if you can get 100 followers who genuinely like you, that you have a genuine connection with? How much more powerful is that than however many followers that just saw you dance on a reel one time and they got a random tip about how to hashtag a post and they're like, I'll give them a follow. Like, they don't really know you. So it goes to show, like, I was just doing a consulting call yesterday with a client that's a rapper, and he was talking about getting his name out. And eventually I came to the conclusion, you should always have like a USB, or, you know, I know CD is not really how to do it. I don't know how they do it anymore, or just a QR code or something, and sell them on it, and just like meet people, go to rap shows and meet as many people as you can, and try to get like 100 actual fans who also have met you before, because they'll always like your post. Even if it's fuzzy, it doesn't matter. Like, they like you. And it just is something that we have overlooked, getting into this online economy where the goal is, how can I go viral and reach a lot of people?
Yeah.
But you don't have as much.
And it's hard. You know, I say to people all the time, like, the amount of people, and you've probably experienced this too, Derek, you know, there are people who have podcasts who have a lot of exposure, a lot of downloads, you being one of them, but there are a lot of people where it's just never going to happen. Like, because the numbers just aren't in your favor. And, you know, I had a client, his name was Brett, and he used to go and drive and meet people in person to sell them on his products. Like, he would go and do 10 meetings in a day, get home after a 15-hour day exhausted to see his kids. And he's like, well, now I just do that with podcasts. I can be at home with my family. I do the same interviews with the same people. And, you know, this process works really well for him. And this is what I kind of remind people, is that, you know, if you look back in the old days of selling, you know, what people used to do is they used to go and meet people in person, build a relationship, and they would make sure they're meeting the right person. And then they would sell them. And that's how selling used to happen. And so really, we're just going back to the old school methodology. And in the world that we live in, where connection is so fleeting, you know, 6 seconds on a TikTok video, when you can sit down and have an in-depth, personal, connected relationship with somebody for 30 or 40 minutes, it's a massive difference and it makes you stand out. And so if you can do that with a targeted, interacted strategy that is really designed to help you get more sales and also help them, then that's worked really, really well for us.
Yeah. And I think any business listening, even like a e-commerce product that it is like low ticket, like under $50, there's maybe still events that you could do. A lot of times I recommend go do farmers markets, go try to sell your product at an event where you can actually see how people respond to it, rather than just seeing, I got 17 likes, what am I doing wrong? Like,
right.
How would you know? Like, have someone come up to the booth and say, it's a little much, or do you have this color? Or like, hear what they're saying. Otherwise, it's really difficult to ever know how to adjust.
Right. And I know you have a lot of e-com people that are kind of listening in the audience as well, Derek. And, you know, I'll share this as well, is that it's not always about having to sell, you know, a high ticket product. You know, a lot of the people that I help in my business are primarily selling high ticket products. But we've had a lot of people, you know, we had a couple clients maybe 2 years ago who sold e-com products, and their whole approach with the podcast wasn't, you know, I'm going to sell one widget to the person I'm interviewing. No, they purposely found people to interview who had audiences of their dream clients. So the same thing again, if you were selling, you know, something that was like a book, and you wanted to go and, you know, sell your book, and you were going to do an in-person meeting, you wouldn't go and sell one book. You go find a distributor, you go find somebody who has an audience, and that's where you would spend your time. And it can be the same thing with the podcast. It's just about understanding, who am I trying to sell? You know, who is the person that makes the most sense for me to speak to? And then how do I make that conversation happen in a way that's valuable for everybody?
I've listened to some of your podcasts in the past, as early as probably about 2 years ago, like shortly after the Nashville, 2019, or I guess it was 2020. It was like February 2020, FHL. So I heard of you shortly after that, knew about your method. I want to dive into your method, but before I get into that, I do have to ask you about Costa Rica. This is the short version. Jamie told me before, he's on the run from the U.S. government. He had to go somewhere. He's wanted in 7 countries now, but he has fled to Costa Rica. What are the pros and cons of living there?
Well, step one, you know, the IRS can't find you here. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Okay.
Luckily, I'm British, so I don't have to deal with the U.S. government, which makes things easier. But, you know, I think I'm in a little bit of a unique situation in that I spent, you know, 3 years before arriving in Costa Rica traveling all over the world. And I feel super lucky to have been able to be a digital nomad and to do slow traveling. But my problem was that I'd fallen in love with Asia. I loved Thailand. I loved the slow pace of the place, but it was on a 12-hour time difference. So if I wanted to get on a call at, you know, 10 p.m. in the morning with somebody in America, I had to be up at 10 p.m. at night. And it was just really unsustainable for me. So I ended up sort of moving around and traveling to all of these different places to try and find my forever home. You know, and it's like that choice paradox. When you have everywhere in the world you can go, it becomes really difficult to find someplace. But one of my friends had connected with me who lived here, and he said, Jamie, you should come and check out Costa Rica. It's very pura vida. It's a very relaxed kind of lifestyle, but there's infrastructure, you know, and a lot of people come here for businesses. And so we landed here and I just fell in love with the place right away, because you've got all of those kind of benefits that you get in a, you know, a US city, or, you know, you've got access to, you know, good types of food. There's quality, you know, things to go and do. There's great restaurants. There's, you know, access to things that are creature comforts that you don't always get in third world countries, but there's infrastructure. You can get 200 megabit internet here. And, you know, there's a lot of those things that you can still retain. But you're at the beach, you've got all of this wildlife, there's monkeys outside of your door every day. So it's that perfect blend of, you know, all of the things that you need, as well as, you know, some of the nature. And, you know, when you live here for a while, you get really into that. You know, I'm really into fitness now. I surf a lot. There's this kind of lifestyle kind of takes you over. But there are definitely some downsides. For example, the cost. It's mega expensive to live here. You know, it's also, you know, you can't get an Amazon package delivered to save your life unless you want to pay three times the price. So there's definitely some downsides. But for me, it's the perfect blend of living in a tropical location, having a little bit of a slower pace of life, and also having access to all the things I need, like a great time zone that I can connect with people in the US, you know, and, you know, fast internet. It's really my requirement. So
awesome. So the biggest con is just the price?
Yeah. A lot of people think because it's Costa Rica and it's kind of Central America, it's very cheap here. It's not that much cheaper to live here than in America, to be honest with you. I lived in Philadelphia and it's kind of the same price to live here as it is in Philly. You can live cheaper, but you know, you're going to really go out on the sticks, you know, 10 minutes away living in, you know, more rundown housing. I think that's the thing most people are surprised at when they come to Costa Rica. They're expecting it to be a lot cheaper and it usually isn't that much cheaper.
And as far as tax advantages go, do you still have to pay some taxes in the UK?
Well, it's very different for different companies. So like, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, I just have a person that does all of that and I don't really fully understand it. But there are some people that come specifically to Costa Rica for different tax advantages. For me, I'm just on a tourist visa. I haven't got like residency here yet in Costa Rica. If I decide to do that, there'll be some advantages that can come into it. But, you know, they do have this kind of cool rule in Costa Rica where if your income comes from foreign sources, then you don't have to pay local tax in Costa Rica. So there are a lot of people from different countries and different territories that kind of take advantage of that, which is really, really cool. So yeah, there's definitely some tax advantages to be had.
Okay, nice. I heard that's like one of the biggest reasons that people might choose going there, but it depends on, you know, what country you're coming from too. Because I think in the US, I would still have to pay taxes.
Right. Yeah. US is one of those places where it's like, you know, you pretty much, unless you renounce like who you are, like that's the only way you can get away from it. But, you know.
What do you think about ranch dressing?
Actually, I never have ranch. It's kind of not a thing in the UK. So
you've had it though.
I think I've had it once or twice. Is it like the mayonnaise and kind of pinky kind of colored stuff?
Yeah,
or
it's like a dill based, you know, creamy salad dressing.
I think I've had it with pizza before. So,
okay. Yeah. I just, when I went to Europe, I met a lot of people from the UK too. And like, then a lot of them didn't even know what it was. So,
yeah, I don't know. I think I've had it like a couple times when I'm in the US, but like, I can't even like picture what it is in my mind. So,
okay. Yeah. Just curious. But all right, let's get into the main stuff here. So Jamie, tell me your, podcast model in a nutshell, because the really cool thing about it is it's not based on needing a ton of downloads. Mm-hmm. And podcast, the podcast scape nowadays can be hard to grow a show on because a lot of people already have their shows they listen to. If you're, you know, that new show now, it can be really hard to really get traction. But there's also a lot of ways to monetize podcasts where you don't really need this big audience. So tell us how that works.
Yeah, so I think it's really interesting because there's really some great advantages to having a really big audience. I mean, we were even talking about your show recently, you know, and talking about the benefits that come from having a big listener base and how you can leverage that to make more sales. It's definitely easier to make more money if you have an audience, but my big approach was when I was trying to solve the problems of my customers, which is, you know, hey, I have entrepreneurs who have podcasts. The reality was that most of them didn't have a really big audience. And to get a really big audience was usually quite difficult. And so what I tried to come up with instead was, you know, how do I solve the problem of the masses versus solving the problem of the minority? Which is, you know, if most people don't have a really big audience, how can they still make money anyway? And with this approach, what's been nice is that people who don't have an audience can still make money, and people who do have an audience make tons of money. And so it's like this really nice combination where we're kind of catering for both people. And so a little bit like I was talking about earlier, our entire goal as a company is to help people create six-figure podcasts and beyond. And so a lot of people, they, you know, when I say, hey, what do you think it would take to create a six-figure podcast? Most of the time, they're thinking about sponsorships. They're thinking about, you know, ad roles. They're thinking about, you know, okay, maybe I have to put a call to action link inside of my show notes. But the problem with all of those methods is, you know, if you're doing sponsorships or ads, usually you're getting heavily underpaid for the attention that you're giving them. And unless you have a giant, humongous, millions of download podcast, you just don't really make that much money with it. It doesn't really make a significant dent. And then the other problem is that you're really just renting out your space for somebody else. So it obviously is more profitable for you to do that yourself. Otherwise, nobody would pay you for it in the first place. So what we came up with was this really interesting model where even though my podcast only had 1,000 downloads a month, we were still able to make like $10,000 to $12,000 a month from the show. And all we did was we just focused on the relationships that we were building with the people that connected with us. And so if you think about, you know, who your dream customer is, it's going to be different from market to market. But, you know, let's take you as an example, Derek. Like, I know you work with a lot of, you know, businesses that are in, say, the e-com space, right? That's kind of the person that you tend to help a lot of, people who are like e-com sellers, let's say.
Yeah.
So how some people create a show is they say, okay, I'm going to go and create a show and I'm going to give value to these e-commerce sellers. So let me bring in some experts that can help with, you know, how to do Facebook ads, how to do Instagram marketing, how to do all of these different things. And the problem with that is that you really position yourself as the interviewer and not the expert. And this is something that Pat Flynn ran into some major problems with when he was creating Smart Passive Income, the podcast, is that so many people knew him as the interviewer. And they said, well, who is Pat Flynn? Well, he's this amazing interviewer. Nobody said, oh, Pat Flynn's an expert at this or Pat Flynn's an expert at that. And so what happens is you kind of dilute yourself with the authority of all of these other experts that kind of come in. So that's the first problem. But then the second problem that happens is that you always tend to attract people who are just like the people that you're interviewing. So I had a friend and he wanted to help chiropractors. So his dream customer was a chiropractor. I know, super sexy, right? Very exciting. And he ran a Facebook ad agency. And so he started interviewing all these people about marketing. And he kept saying to me, Jamie, like all the people that are listening to my show are other marketers. They're coming to listen to this marketing advice from these different people. And so we just made one major, but also tiny change to his show. And all we did was we said, okay, instead of interviewing marketers, we are now going to just interview your dream customer. So all he did was he exclusively interviewed hundreds of chiropractors. So on his show, he interviewed them about the challenges that they had with growing their online marketing of their business. And so a couple of things happened. One, other chiropractors started to listen to the show because they wanted to listen to what was going on with these other chiropractors as they were struggling to grow their business. The second thing that happened is he had literally hundreds of conversations and built hundreds of relationships with these chiropractors who happened to be his dream customers. And so usually over half of them actually ended up having a sales conversation and a lot of them became clients. And then the third thing, which was even more powerful, was that he started to become known for being affiliated with chiropractors. Because he was the person that was interviewing all of these different chiropractors, he became affiliated with them, but he was the expert. in how to help people make money online as a chiropractor, because he was the person that was kind of connecting. And so as a model, we just made a couple of, you know, minor shifts in how people set up and position their podcasts. And, you know, the downside of this usually is, well, okay, maybe I'm not going to get as much mass exposure. Maybe I'm not going to get, you know, all these amazing guests with millions of downloads, you know, coming onto my show. But most of the time, when you get those people to come onto your podcast anyway, they're not promoting it. You know, they're not really driving people to the show. So theoretically, it seems like a major benefit. But most of the time, all you really get is kind of a little bit of rapport by saying, oh, I had Russell Brunson on my show, or I had, you know, Gary Vee on my show. It usually doesn't drive a significant amount of actual change in your business. So our whole approach is really just to reposition the podcast to become the ultimate magnet for your dream customer. How can you attract more people as listeners? How can you, you know, build authority amongst the people that you're interviewing? And then how do you turn those people into actual sales conversations because you're connecting with people? And that in a nutshell is kind of how we reposition it. I can go a bit deeper, but I'm sure you probably maybe want to take it in a different direction.
Yeah, I think the model makes perfect sense. The chiropractor example is plug and play. I think it's easy to see, all right, this is a chiropractor trying to sell to other chiropractors. He can interview chiropractors on a show, get the introduction, put out content, gain a podcast audience. If you get a large audience, then hey, you got even more options of what to do with it. You're becoming an authority in the space. I think where people's questions are is, where do you draw the line of what businesses this works for? Because I've got artists and then we've got coaches listening, right? And we got fitness coaches. So lots of people that could potentially make this work, but maybe even just a couple more examples for the people that kind of had to stretch to make this method work, but have made it work. What else could you say for helping people really envision their business and this model?
Yeah, so this is a good question. So the reason that this model works so effectively is because business owners want to come on podcasts. There's a lot of credibility and authority that comes from being featured on a show. You know, and one thing we teach our clients how to do is to make your show even more desirable. So how to be a top 100 podcast, for example. It gives you that sort of credibility and clout, a bit like becoming a best-selling Amazon author does. And so there's things you can do to make your show more credible. So when people say, well, will this work for me? The number one question you just have to ask yourself is my dream customer interested in getting interviewed on a podcast? And it might surprise you how many people are actually very willing to do that. And the number one test I tell people to do is literally to just email their audience and say, hey guys, I'm thinking of launching a brand new podcast. I'm looking to interview, insert your dream customer here, who would be interested to come on the show. And a lot of the time you're going to get a lot of responses, and that is going to give you the indication of whether this is going to be, you know, viable for you. And so, you know, we've had people, for example, Susie is somebody that recently joined our program. She has this amazing podcast called The Women in the Middle, and she's a midlife women's coach. She helps women who are in their 50s and 60s really figure out how to find the joy in what they do again, and how to get excited, and how to, you know, create goals for themselves. And so our plan with her is very simple. She's going to have a sister podcast that's called The Real Women in the Middle. And so she'll just have a call to action on her show that says, hey, are you a real woman in the middle that's been listening to the show and wants to come onto our sister podcast? We would love to interview you. And that way she's got literally hundreds of people from her audience who identify as real women in the middle who are going to go on to this other show. And she's going to be able to have a great, you know, deeper connection with them. And a lot of those will turn into sales calls purely because they already know, like, and trust her. And just by getting onto a conversation with Susie, who is, you know, the expert that everybody looks at, a lot of them are going to say, hey, actually, I do need some help with this. Maybe let's have a conversation and see how we can help. So it doesn't really matter what your audience is. There just has to be a desire to come onto the show. And sometimes that's, you know, oh, I want to talk to Susie because I've been listening to the show and I just really want to talk about what this means for me. Other times it's they're a business owner. So, you know, businesses are the easiest to get to come onto podcasts because there is very real benefits to them coming on the show. They get authority, they get credibility. And a lot of the time, this is something that people massively overthink is going to be their big hurdle. So I have a lot of people who join my program and they say, Jamie, I'm just not sure how I'm going to get people come on to come on the show. And usually we go into one or two Facebook groups, put one post out, and they literally have hundreds of people raising their hand saying, yes, I would love to come get featured. And so very quickly that, you know, stops being their problem and they're onto, you know, the next thing that they're kind of concerned about. So, you know, every type of market, the biggest question you have to ask yourself is, would it make sense for my dream customer to be interviewed by me? So some other examples we've got is, you know, let's take your market, for example. You know, you could interview e-commerce sellers about the challenges they have with getting their e-com products into the more hands of buyers. You could speak to, you know, dentists about the challenges they have with online marketing. You could speak to gym owners about the challenges of going beyond their local area, you know, whatever you solve the problem as. I have one client and she helps people with relationship problems. And so even then, you know, she put a post out online that said, hey, I'm looking for six-figure entrepreneurs to talk to about the challenges of online dating when running a busy business. A lot of people raised their hands. You know, she was like, I don't think anybody's going to want to come on the show and talk about their challenges with their dating life. And I said, well, let's put a post out and see. You know, and she had 150 people who raised their hand and said, I run a busy business. I'm really successful, but I suck at dating and I don't know why. You know, and you know, a ton of those people ended up getting on sales calls afterwards. So I think that's the most important question to ask is, you know, can I position the show in a way that makes it desirable for my dream customer to get onto, you know, a conversation? And if you guys aren't sure, you know, I'll give you guys my Instagram handle at the end. It's just my name, Jamie Atkinson. If you're like, hey, I'm not sure if this is going to work for me, just send me a message, ask me the question, and I'll tell you whether it makes sense or it doesn't, and maybe give you some insight about it.
It's so much easier to just go right to the source and ask at that point. I get a lot of questions about my method too, like would I be able to, you know, run my unique offer through it, and then I just have to piece it out for them. But yeah, it's just so hard to cover every example on a podcast. I did have an epiphany while you were talking though, because I was thinking about, like, for consulting, it can be a little bit harder because the people you're helping are, you know, maybe they're not established yet, right? So maybe there's not as much of a reason to bring them onto a podcast. But for like agency work, if I'm trying to pursue like big kahunas, right? Like I want to run ads for this really big company. I can DM them, hey, can I run your ads like everyone else? Or I could email them, or you know, like any kind of direct outreach where it's just you in mind first, they get it all day. So right. I definitely am like thinking of a DM. I wish I could unsend now and then say, do you want to come on my podcast instead? Right. But yes.
No, I think what's interesting is when you look at most business owners, one of the biggest problems they have is really traffic. It's, you know, they're not having enough conversations with their dream customers every single day. And so when you have a really compelling offer, and like Derek, yours is amazing because you can literally say, hey, I have a podcast with 1 million downloads and I would love to feature you on one of our sister podcasts. If you're this person, do you want to come get featured? That's massively, massively desirable for people to come onto the show. So you've got tons of leverage there. And you're also giving them kind of like, you know, really big reciprocity. Like they get something that's super valuable, you know, as they're coming onto the show, they feel really, really good. And then if you can have, you know, a conversation about how you can help them on the back end, a lot of people are going to take you up on that. First of all, just because of reciprocity, because you've done something for them, they want to do something for you. But a lot of the time, when you interview the right person who already has a problem and you know you can solve that problem for them, and they like you as a person and you've done something for them, there really is no reason for them not to get onto a sales call with you. And so this is what we try and do, is we try and help people really stack the deck in their favor by making sure that you attract the right person, that we're really setting them up with this, you know, sales flow. But, you know, one thing I love about this is it's also a really nice and natural way to sell people. You know, instead of like the very first thing you do is you're on a sales call and it's like, hey, what's up? I'm here to sell you. Let's see if you want to buy. It's like, no, let's actually just have a conversation first. Let's just connect. Let's become friends. And then after you've established that kind of relationship, if it makes sense for them to get help, they take the next step. And if it doesn't, hey, no worries. Like this was really just an awesome chance to connect. And what I found is it leaves a lot of that reciprocity there so that you can connect again in the future. And sometimes you collaborate. And for me, it's just a very nice way to go about selling and really helping more people.
Absolutely. I can see it working in so many ways, just with the personal connection that is completely lost at this point of online marketing in most cases. And the thing is especially like in the course market, How many people listening right now have bought a course before that they ended up not liking? Even if you didn't like ever open it, or you just regret buying it in some way, just has happened. So unless you can sell courses differently now, or have that personal connection where they're like, all right, I know this guy is not going to sell me a course like the last person did. Initially, you're getting grouped into the category of the last coach they talked to. So until you can breach that with a personal relationship, then can be difficult.
Totally. I had the same thing happen today. There was somebody that we were on a sales call with, super amazing girl. She was like, hey, you know, we heard about you from one of the people that you'd worked with. And so she had a referral coming through and getting connected with us. You know, but even then at the end of the call, she's like, hey, I've been burnt. You know, I've been burnt by one of these companies and this is what happened. And even when you've got a referral, it's somebody they trust and know. That referral happened to have amazing results. She's got connected with us through, you know, an interview process. So she gets to know the real you. Even then, you still have a lot of doubt, you know, that people have. And so imagine you take out some of those personal elements and it becomes even harder. And I think this is where most people struggle nowadays, is that we're really in the age where you have to really be doing a lot to build people's trust. And I've heard a lot of coaches and a lot of, you know, people who are selling talking about this problem and saying, hey, you know, I'm really struggling to book calls. And a lot of the time, it's not necessarily that their process isn't right. It's just that the people need a lot of time to build that trust. I had a friend who runs an email list. He did a study on his email list recently. He sends an email every single day, and his average client takes 104 emails to buy. And this is someone that emails every single day consistently, and they're great emails. And so if someone as good as that takes 104 interactions before someone's willing to buy, you know, how hard is it for the beginner out there? And so this is what I love about this interview process, is that one, it's very, very quick to build a really strong rapport. I had one client, and this was crazy, an insane testimonial for us, but she managed to close a $4 million deal in a 30-minute podcast interview that usually takes her 4 months to close. And so, you know, the power of these relationships that you can build in podcasts is dramatic. But what I like about it is it's so forgiving for the beginner, because, you know, it's so hard, and you know this, you know, as well as anybody, to be super effective at marketing, you know, to send the emails, the texts, the follow-up, the all of these things that we're all taught to do can be really challenging. Like, you have to be really, really good at every single thing along the way. And maybe then at the end, you're going to, you know, make some sales. What I love about the personal connections that you can have via podcast interviews is that it's very forgiving for beginners. It's really leaning on that natural connection we have as human beings, and that can carry you a long way.
If you're a coach and you try to sell an offer to five people over the phone, and then you hear them tell you exactly why they're not buying, versus 1,000 people go to your website that has the offer listed there, you'll get more data from those five people, even if the answer is no from everyone. I mean, especially in that case, because you'll just be looking at 1,000 people came here, average page view duration, what links did they click on the page? I can guess. I don't know.
Super hard.
So it's, yeah, it's every trend and like everything like swings around in the online marketing space. Like, it will trend one way where everyone's trying to go viral, run ads at massive scale. And then it'll be like, okay, enough people got had, let's make it a little bit more personal. And then it will probably swing back and go back and forth. But ultimately, it's just good to know about everything that you can do so that you can have the wisdom to make the best decisions for your business, for your type of product. And that's why people like me and Jamie are always open to you guys DMing us and saying, well, this is my personal thing that's going on, because I know that my podcast is only so helpful when I choose to use yoga mats as an example over and over. And if you're not selling yoga mats, it might be hard to bridge the information sometimes. So please reach out to us. Last thing, Jamie, I want to get a hot take from you. Just what's some random entrepreneur thought in the last week that you put in your notes folder? You're like, I'm going to make a quote about this on Twitter. Like, give me some hot take, even if it's controversial.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about this, but one thing that I figured out this last week was how powerful referrals can be. And so we added into our podcast application around about a week and a half ago, a section at the end where we said, hey, if you've got anybody that you think would be a good fit to come onto this show as a guest, please put their name and email down below. And we give them a chance to put three different emails. And so one of the things that was really interesting was that, you know, from last week's applications that came in, we had about 35 applications that were filled in for people wanting to come on the show, but we actually had 40 people that got referred inside of the form. And so one of the really big, you know, things that was super interesting is of those 40 people, we had about 30% of them who immediately booked in for the podcast interview, and a ton of others who, you know, we followed up, we sent them a message and are also still super interested in this process. And some of them are now receiving our emails as we go through. And so one thing that was a huge takeaway for me this week was the question of how can I just naturally build more referrals into my business? How can I get people who are coming in, getting some kind of value, bringing in more people who thinks this would be valuable for them as well. And when you compare that with a really great offer, like, hey, come get featured on my top 100 podcast, then it becomes this powerful agent to just really getting a lot of people coming towards you. So this entire week, I've just been thinking about, you know, how do I program in this referral engine into all of the different, you know, forms or opt-ins that I do to really just get more people coming in? Because when you get someone referred by somebody else, there's a lot more trust.
At the referral, at the point that you're collecting it there on this application form, is that an affiliate referral, or is that just a
organic? It's just a pure, hey, does it, have you got anybody else that you would like to come onto the show? You know, and so what's kind of cool about that is that, you know, hey, you know, once I get someone coming into my business or, you know, becoming, you know, a partner with me, for example, you know, maybe I'm going to give them an affiliate commission. But what I've noticed is that if people find something truly valuable and you ask them, hey, would you recommend this to anybody? A lot of the time they don't need anything to be in it for them, because just giving that other person that amazing opportunity is enough. And so that was something that was really interesting for me, was that I didn't really need to ethically bribe them with some kind of, you know, incentive. I just said, hey, if, have you got anybody else that this would be a fit for?
I like that, because to the point I was making earlier about trends swinging, I mean, people are just so used to everything being affiliate code that they're like, I don't know who to trust anymore. Like, everyone wants to refer me a product, and then I'm like, yeah, that sounds great. And then they send me a code, and then I'm like, wait, is it still great? I don't know anymore, because there's obvious incentive for you to recommend this regardless if you actually do. So I could see that trend going in the direction, and obviously that's good for the businesses too. And then honestly, this is one of those things where if you get big enough, you got to get really big, like Andrew Tate or something, with your affiliate program, where everyone starts saying, oh, it's a pyramid scheme because, oh, it's an affiliate program. And they're like, the people are recommending it to, you know, making a commission. And this happened when I was selling Cutco knives. Like, we used to have it where if you bring a friend on the team, you make 1% of their sales. And then all these kids that had a misinterpretation of it would go on YouTube, be like, it's a pyramid scheme. And then we'd just be like, fine, you don't make any money. You don't, like, just refer your friend if you think they would like the job. Otherwise, don't refer them. Like, you don't make any money off of it. And then the negative publicity went away. So it's kind of funny, because like, the businesses are just trying to help out the customers at the root of it, to just give them an incentive, give them a kickback if they can bring a friend in. But I think it's just gotten at this point where everyone and their mom knows as soon as code Derek10 becomes a part of it, it might not be an actual recommendation.
Right. And, you know, it's cool for us, because it means that we now have a new problem in our business. And our main problem in the past has been traffic. It's, you know, how do we get enough people coming into our world? And actually, that is no longer a problem, because the offer is, you know, hey, do you want to come on our top 100 podcast? We've got so many people that are filling in the forms, taking us up on it, referring extra people to come in. My new problem is I need to have enough people to take those interviews. And so right now we're hiring teams of, you know, podcast interviewers and people who can actually do these interviews, give amazing value, and then at the same time, see if that person is actually interested in getting help. So it's been great for us to figure out this sort of perpetual traffic system that means that we don't have to pay for traffic anymore. But, you know, like anything in business, there's always the new challenge, right? Right. And another level, another devil.
And at the least, even if they come on this show and that's it, that's still just a branding possibility for their business, just to say, I've been featured on this show, top 100 podcast, and they can just add that to their entrepreneur resume. We kind of have resumes more in the branding sense, right?
To
and this is customers rather than employers.
So what's nice about this is that, you know, you are actually giving someone something that's actually valuable. You know, this isn't some, you know, swap it out and do something else. It's, you know, we want to genuinely interview them. We want to give them exposure. That's actually super powerful for us as a business because we get affiliated with these people. And then, you know, if it happens that we can help them, we'll offer them some help. And if not, no worries, you know, and it's kind of this win-win-win environment where they win because they come and get interviewed on the show and get exposure. You know, the customer who's listening, the listener of the podcast, they actually win because they get this amazing content. And then we win as the business owner because we become associated with this person and they may be interested in actually getting help from us as well.
Well, as promised, guys, you are the elite who made it to the end of the episode. We told you if you made it to the end, you could do a few things. One, we will let you follow us on Instagram. We will allow it.
So
you can subscribe to us everywhere. We will allow it as well. And you also have a chance to get on Jamie's podcast. Jamie, tell them how they can do that.
So guys, if you want to come and get featured on the show, you know, full transparency here, my goal is to bring you on the show because you are probably my dream customer. And, you know, and there's two reasons we do that. One, the more of you guys we interview, the more people who are just like you are going to come and find us. You get exposure on the show, but we're also going to figure out whether we can actually help you in your business. We're really good at making people a lot of money on podcasts. So if you're not making any money on podcasts, we'll probably ask you at the end, hey, do you want some help with this? And we can chat about how we can help. So if you're a business owner and you have a podcast and you're approaching six figures or you're beyond six figures or even seven figures or beyond, then all you guys need to do is go to www.podcastrebels.com/social bamboo. And that's just going to be, you know, so we know that you guys are coming from this podcast. And then from there, you guys can go and fill in an application to come get featured on the show. And, you know, anybody that goes through this application process, it's kind of nice because it's a little bit meta. And so what I mean by that is what we are doing with you guys is what we teach our clients to do as well. So you guys are going to go through something we call the multiverse sequence, which is a series of emails and podcast episodes that get interweaved together that actually does a really good job of pre-selling our clients on the idea of working together. So one thing I always encourage people to do is not only, you know, pay attention to what people say, but pay attention to what entrepreneurs are doing in their business. And so it's also a really good opportunity for you guys to come and take a look behind the scenes and see what we are actually doing in our business to go and, you know, pre-sell people, get people interested and excited about what we do, but also give them value at the same time. So yeah, if you guys want that, podcastrebels.com/social bamboo. We would love to see you there.
Hidden tip I just caught there. You said multiverse, and that's great because there always has to be this general analogy that you can make, like especially in marketing, and people have been using the Matrix forever, like the red pill, blue pill thing. And I totally did it. And then it's funny because people will come to me for consulting. They're like, should I do this email about take the red pill or the blue pill? I'm like, it's overdone. They've seen it at this point, but you just hit me with the multiverse. So obviously it's a Marvel thing, but I like that. You started it, but hopefully it's, you know, doesn't get saturated too quick.
I hope it takes off because, you know, everybody that comes through our process, you know, I show them how we do it. And it's kind of nice because, you know, I won't spoil it too much, but you guys get emails. And then if you click a link, you get a podcast and it's a secret podcast that no one else gets. And then once you listen to that podcast, you get the next email right away. And it's this really engaging kind of sequence where you get a lot more by going behind the scenes. But what happens is you also become a hyper consumer. I had one person the other day that literally went and read five emails and listened to five podcast episodes in the space of 3 hours. They sent me an email afterwards. They're like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with this. This sounds amazing. Like, how do I get more help? And so it can be a really interesting way to get your most engaged people to sort of hyper consume your content.
The multiverse close.
There you go.
I like it. All right, guys. Well, follow Jamie at Jamie Atkinson. I'm at Social Bamboo with an underscore at the end. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm going to link the episode that I did on Jamie's show below too, so you can continue the conversation over there. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.